Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Praise God. Well, we have been talking about faith steps and how vitally important faith is to the life of the believer. How many is a believer in here this morning? If you're a believer, faith is a vital part to your life. So the more that you can grow in your faith, develop your faith, come to know all about faith, how to exercise your faith, the better it is for you. Because Jesus gave us one command when it comes to faith. What did he tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7? We are to walk by faith and not by sight. A New Living Translation says we're to walk by believing and not by seeing. Seeing would be what? The five senses, which is the voice of the body. And we know that we've been learning that the outward man of the physical body is not the real us, but it is the house or the shell for the spirit man, the inward man, or the hidden man of the heart. And the soul, the mind, the will, the reasoning, the intellect. So the body is just the house or the shell. And you are the steward over your body. You are the one that is to take control and tell your body what it's going to do or what it's not going to do, not allowing your body to tell you what it's going to do or not going to do, or what it feels or what it doesn't feel. Because faith is not moved by feelings, because feelings is the voice of our bodies. Faith is only moved by the Word of God. And then we found out in Luke chapter 18 and in verse 8 where Jesus said, when I come back to the earth, will I find people persistent in their faith? Will I find, another translation says, will I find people using their faith? It's pretty strong. In other words, it's our responsibility to do something with what God has already said that belongs to us. Healing belongs to us. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, God said in his word that I have blessed you already with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Already blessed us. Healing is one of those blessings. It already belongs to us, but does that mean, Pastor Debbie, that it's just going to happen, fall off a tree like a ripe cherry does? No. It doesn't. Just because something is the will of God does not mean it automatically happens. But when we know what the will of God is, and he's expecting us to grab a hold of that promise, that truth, and what? Receive it, accept it. When you say you accept it, in other words, you make it yours. You personalize that word. You move it from off the paper and you make it yours. You say, this is mine. I see this. I have this according to the Word of God, not according to what I feel. I'm not waiting for a feeling. Feelings have to eventually line up with the Word of God, what you believe with your heart, or what you're saying continually with your mouth. Remember the importance of the speech center is the dominion center of our lives. Your voice is your address into the realm of the Spirit and your ticket out of Satan's dominion. So what we say with our mouths on a continual basis is vitally important to our faith. Because Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, he said, whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things that they say, they shall have whatsoever they saith. Notice that word, they shall have whatsoever they say if they believe it in their heart. And the word say is in that one scripture verse, three times. Believing is one time. Faith has an attitude and an action. Believing is the attitude. Speaking is the action. Let me say that again. Faith has an attitude and an action. Believing is the attitude. Speaking is the action. The greatest percentage of your speech or your voice in the earth today will be used for you exercising your dominion and declaring with your faith who you are, what you have, and what you can do in Christ. Constantly. This is not just a one-time confession. This is constantly. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. Satan is the little g god of this world system. So things are contending for your faith constantly, trying to persuade and move you off your faith and trust in the Word of God. This is why it's so important for us to be feeding our faith constantly on the Word of God, because the Word of God is the only thing. The Word of God is the only thing that can produce, develop the faith of God. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. You can't hear it too much. You can't hear it enough. You can't overdose on it. But it does help you to continue to hear that word that God has spoken concerning you, what you have, who you are, and what you can do in Christ constantly, all the time. And so we've been discussing, studying, and going over the importance of faith in the life of the believer. And we said, number one, it was what important that we find scriptures and meditate on them. Find scriptures. Notice it says find scriptures, not find out about the sickness and disease. So many people, when they get diagnosed with different things, the doctor says, well, you have this. They immediately go to the computer websites and they start studying the sickness and disease. Well, you know, that's exactly what the devil wants you to do, because when you study about the sickness and disease, what are you doing? That's building fear in you. It's building doubt and unbelief in you, where the enemy can get a foothold, because the Bible says in Ephesians 4:27, give no place to the devil. But he's always looking for an entry level, an entry point, a place or a position used as a base where he can make further advance in your life. So why would we want to study about the sickness and disease? No, we want to find scriptures that produce faith in our life and continue to build our faith and develop our faith on what God has said. And we found out that the meditation of those scriptures is what, it's getting it moved from information, where you first start hearing about it, where it drops down into your spirit and your heart, and it becomes revelation. It gets revealed to you by the Spirit of God. It becomes alive and real to you. There is a convincing that happens on the inside. There is a persuasion that happens on the inside. You're no longer moved by what you're hearing out here or what you're feeling right here. You're moved by what God has said. You're persuaded about what God has said. You know it's yours. You have it, and you're... That's what you're declaring, that's what you're believing, and that's the way it is. No matter what other symptoms may say, the doctors may say, we want to know what the Word of God says. That's what's going to stabilize you and hold you steady in your time of adversity or opposition. The Word of God will sustain you, preserve you, uphold you. Come on now. Remember, this word right here is just not a word on a piece of paper. No, the moment you receive it into your heart, it becomes quickened and made alive. So the meditation is vitally important about getting it down into our heart and our spirit. We said, secondly, was to accept the Word of God as our final answer. There are other reports that you might be told, but whose report are you going to choose to believe? I believe the report of the Lord. I believe God's report, Isaiah 53:1. The arm of God is revealed to those who believe God's report. All the power of God is revealed to those who believe God's report. And we always remember this. When it comes to the Word of God, it is living power. It is medicine. So the more we take His medicine, it gets into us, and we allow that medicine to what? Give it time to work. Stop trying to cut it short because 2 days go by. Remember, faith has no time clock. That's another good one to remember when it comes to the God kind of faith. Faith has no time clock. Because the moment the devil can keep you in a time zone, in a time frame, then you're wanting this by this, and if it don't happen, you get disappointed, you get discouraged. No, 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 no. Get yourself out of the time clock. Just keep believing God, keep trusting God, keep speaking that word, declaring that word, and acting on that word. So faith does not have a time clock. Time is only in this zone. Hallelujah. Then we said thirdly was your imagination. God gave all of us an imagination, and we are to use our imagination for the good. Not allow the enemy to corrupt our imagination and make you start seeing yourself dead. You see a coffin, you see a funeral, and you see all your... No, 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 no. God wants you to use your imagination as seeing yourself the way He sees you. And that's with a long life, Psalms 91:16, with a long life He will satisfy you and show you His salvation. Start seeing yourself healed, seeing yourself enjoying your family, enjoying what you like to do, if it's horseback riding, hiking, whatever. They said you'll never walk again, or you'll never be able to do this again because of your back or because of your knees or because of this. No. Like I said, if you have to take pictures of yourself when you're healthy and strong before anything happened to you, and you post those pictures up around you to remind you that that's who you are, that's what you have. Use your imagination. You can remember, your mind has two levels. You can either replay your past or pre-play your future. And if we're pre-playing, then we're seeing ourselves the way God sees us. Healed, whole, strong, healthy, living a long life. He came to give you what? John 10:10, the abundant life. Jesus said, I've come to give you an abundant life, a good, long, lasting, satisfying, fulfilling life, over and above what you could think or imagine. So we are to see ourselves the way God sees us. And that's going to come through the meditation of the Word of God, because the meditation of the Word of God begins to paint the picture on the canvas of your heart, of your spirit. And when you start seeing it here in your heart, then you can have it out here. But you have to see it here first. And that's continuing to dwell on that word, think on that word, ponder that word. Then we said, fourthly, begin to thank God that it's done, that you have it. Praise and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving and praise. Oh my gosh. You know, when you pray, you ask God for something, but when you praise and thank God, you win battles. I said, when you praise and you thank God, you win battles. Hallelujah. You know, we need to learn to put to good use the weapons that we've been given as believers. The Word of God is a weapon. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus is a weapon. The anointing of the Spirit of God. The Word, the Spirit, the blood, I'm telling you. Praise and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving and praise. Thanking God that it's done. And that persuasion is going to come through the Word of God. Getting this Word into your heart. More and more and more. Hallelujah. You know, I like to share, let me see here, this. I remember this testimony. that was given by a minister of a man that for 8 years he put up with and dealt with a tumor that grew out of his chest that was the size of two fists put together. For 8 years, the doctor said they could not operate and remove it. It would kill him faster. They said if we left it alone, you would live longer. So at that time, with the knowledge that that man had, he chose to not let the doctors remove it, because the doctors told him you'll live longer if we just leave it alone, because if we go to take it off or remove it, you could die immediately. So for 8 years, he had this ugly looking, horrendous tumor growing out of his chest, and it would ooze and run, and his wife would have to change the bandages and help him with it. But finally, one day, he heard the word of faith. And when he heard the word of faith, he got excited about it, and he decided to choose God's word and what God said concerning this tumor, that he did not have to put up with it any longer. So he meditated on the word, he meditated on the word, he meditated on, he got that word in him until he became fully persuaded and convinced that that tumor on his chest, no matter what it looked like or appeared to be, was not going to move him any longer. So the moment that he accepted the word of God and chose to believe God, that he received his healing, he released his faith, and he began to declare God's word, by Jesus' stripes I was healed. And he would point to that tumor, and he would say, tumor, you have no right in my body. You have no place and no power over me. I call you dead, tumor. I call you shrunk and dissolved and gone in Jesus' name. 2 solid weeks speaking every single day. Now remember, the speaking part is the releasing of his faith. He's now putting his faith in action, releasing his faith. He's speaking to it. He's declaring it. Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto the mountain. So he's speaking to it. After 2 weeks, him and his wife notice it's starting to shrink. 2 weeks, he's speaking the word of faith over it. It starts to shrink. Well, what happened then, Pastor Debbie? He continued to stay with the word of God. He continued day in and day out to release his faith, to declare the word, release his faith, declare the word of God concerning that thing. 6 whole months went by, and it was totally gone. Nothing. His chest looks just as clear and clean, like new skin. It's like brand new skin is there. 6 months. Wonder if he had given up after 3 weeks and said, well, it started shrinking, but I don't know. This is where we hold fast to the confession of our faith. Praise and thanksgiving. We continue to praise and thank God. He was continuing to do that. And then the last thing we said was to hold fast to your confession of faith. Hold fast to it. Why? Because the devil is coming to steal your words. He's after the words that you're speaking, because he knows how powerful they are when you get them, what, sown in your heart, and you believe those words. Just like God, when he spoke the universe into existence, they were faith-filled words. God believed in what he spoke, and it came into existence. How much more are you and I capable of operating in the same kind of faith now by speaking to the mountain, declaring what is so when it comes to that mountain, and saying, you know what, you're trespassing. Like I shared last week about Brother Hagin that said that nobody could see it, but he said in the spirit realm he knew the devil could see it, but he had a big no trespassing sign across his spirit saying, nope, devil, no trespassing here. You'll not put sickness and disease on me. You and I are the ones who decide what will be or what won't be according to the word of God. Doesn't mean you won't go unchallenged. As long as we live on this earth, the devil will continue to challenge your faith. But as his believers, as his representatives, as his children on the earth, we belong to the highest kingdom there is. And the king that we serve, come on now, oh my, the king that we serve is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's already conquered and defeated the devil, death, hell, and the grave. He's already conquered and paralyzed every sickness, every disease. He said, I carried your pains away. He said, I bore it for you in your place. What I bore, you refused to bear. What I carried, you refused to carry. Come on now. You got to see it laid on him. He took it in the mental realm for you. He took it in the physical realm for you. He bore it. It was laid on him so you could have the peace of mind. Hallelujah. Health and healing and wholeness in your body. But you got to hold fast to your confession of faith. And this is where the speech center is the dominion center of our lives. What are you continuing to say on a continual basis, day in and day out? Not growing weary, not fainting in your mind, not giving up on how long this is going to take. No, stay out of the time clock zone. You're not in the time clock zone. Faith doesn't tell time. But it does know what God's word has spoken and declared concerning you, and it believes it. So we're to hold fast because we don't want the enemy coming in there and trying to get us to talk about anything else. The symptoms. Oh, but you don't know, Pastor Debbie, in the past week, it's gotten worse. Okay? Double your dose of the word of God. Double the dose of medicine, the word of God. Take more medicine. Remember, you can't overdose on this. It has no side effects. Hallelujah. It's long lasting. Hallelujah. Praise God. Keep taking the medicine and allowing that medicine to get in there and do what it is intended to do. You'll be amazed. So hold fast to the confession of faith, not the confession of the sickness, not the confession of the symptoms, not the confession of the doctors. No, what God has said concerning you and what your faith is in. So, so important. We can't hear this enough. We can't overhear it. We just got to continue to believe it, accept it, make it your own, personalize it, and then begin to act on it. Hallelujah. So I want us to begin today. We're going to look at some Bible examples. Hallelujah. You're going to help me, Holy Spirit. You are helping me. We're going to turn together to the book of Luke chapter 1. And I want to read Luke chapter 1, and we're so glad for all those that have joined online with us today. We're glad you did. Just keep following along like we are right here. Get your Bibles, get your notepad, take notes, follow along in your Bible, because it's something about hearing the Word and seeing the Word at the same time. These two people that we're about to read about received the same message. Was the promise of a child. And we're going to see two different reactions here of the action of their faith or the action of their doubt and unbelief. So if we turn to Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Bible, and we're going to start in verse 5. Luke chapter 1, and in verse 5, I'm going to read 5 through 20. It says, and in the days when Herod was king of Judea, there was a certain priest whose name was Zechariah, and of the daily service of the division of Abiah, and his wife also a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They both were righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. So they were under the blessing, they were believing and trusting God according to, in the Old Testament, the Word of God, the commandments of God. They were following it and believing them. And it says in verse 8, now while on duty serving as a priest before God in the order of his division, as was the custom of the priesthood, it fell on Zechariah by lot to enter the sanctuary of the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Verse 10, and all the throng of people were praying outside in the court at the hour of the incense burning. Verse 11, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Verse 12, and when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear took possession of him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your petition was heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you must call his name John. God is favorable. Verse 14, and you shall have joy and exultant delight, and many will rejoice over his birth. Verse 15, and he will be great and distinguished in the sight of the Lord, and he must drink no wine, no strong drink, and he will be filled with the and controlled by the Holy Spirit, even in and from his mother's womb. Woo, these are some great declarations concerning John before he was even born yet. Verse 16, and he will turn back and cause to return many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. Verse 17, and he will himself go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn back the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient and incredulous and unpersuadable to the wisdom of the upright, which is the knowledge and holy love of the will of God, in order to make ready for the Lord a people perfectly prepared in spirit, adjusted and disposed and placed in the right moral state. Verse 18, and Zechariah said to the angel, by what shall I know and be sure of this? Oh boy. For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel replied to him, I am Gabriel, hallelujah, I stand in the very presence of God, and I have been sent to talk to you and to bring you this good news. Verse 20, now behold, you will be and will continue to be silent and not able to speak. Think about that. Silent and not able to speak till the day when these things take place, because you, what, have not believed. What did the angel tell him? He said, you have not believed. So you have not believed what I told you, but my words are of a kind which will be fulfilled in the appointed and proper time. So here's Zechariah. Here, his wife, they both are older in age, beyond childbearing age, plus she was barren, couldn't have children, and now this angel appears to him while he's performing the duty as the priest in the temple, and the angel tells him, your wife is going to get pregnant, she's going to have a son, you're going to name him John. But it says right here in verse 20 that Zechariah did not believe, and it was so important about his mouth that the angel had to shut the man's mouth until the time of the performance of the word of God that was spoken concerning John. You think about that, how powerful that is. The Lord knew that Zechariah's words, if he were to allow him to continue to speak, could mess up the whole plan of God. So he shut his mouth so he could not speak. And then let's look now. That was Zechariah and the importance of his words and how vitally important it was to the plan of God to keep him in God's plan. Now let's look at another one right here in the same chapter, and we're going to start in verse 26. So we know Gabriel, He appeared to Zechariah, but now the same angel, Gabriel, is going to appear to Mary. Verse 26, now in the sixth month after that, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth, to a girl never having been married and a virgin engaged to be married to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now remember, these two people, Zechariah and Mary, have received the same message concerning the promise of a child. Let's go on. Verse 28, and the angel, came to her and said, "Hail, O favored one, endued with grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed, favored of God are you before all other women." Verse 29, and when she saw him, she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused at what he said, and kept revolving in her mind what such a greeting might mean. Verse 30, and the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." Same thing he said to Zechariah, didn't he? Don't be afraid. He told her also, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace, free, spontaneous, absolute favor, loving kindness with God. And listen, you will become pregnant and will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Now, Zechariah and his wife, they were beyond the age of childbearing. She was also barren, so in the natural, it was impossible. Here's another in the natural impossible situation. Here she is, a virgin, never known a man. She's getting ready to get married. And this angel says, but you're going to become pregnant, and you're going to give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. They told Zechariah, you'll call your son John. They told her, you're going to call your son Jesus. Verse 32, and he will be great, eminent, and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his forefather David. He will reign over the house of Jacob throughout the ages, and of his reign there will be no end. Hallelujah. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I have no intimacy with any man as a husband? Looking in the natural. Verse 35. Then the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Here's a supernatural conception. Why? And the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud. And so the holy, pure, sinless thing, offspring which shall be born of you, will be called the Son of God. Verse 36, and listen, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is now the sixth month with her who was called barren. What is this angel doing? He is encouraging Mary to believe his words. Then he gives her a witness in her own family saying, look, here's a testimony already. Your Aunt Elizabeth, she's going to have a son. She was barren and it was impossible for her. Oh boy. Your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, which was in the natural. It was impossible. And this is now the sixth month with her who was called barren. Verse 37, for with God nothing is ever impossible. Let me say that again. For with God nothing is ever impossible. And no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Love it, love it. Verse 38, then Mary said, behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to what you have said. And the angel left her. Wow. You see the difference here? She accepted that because look at verse 45, the same chapter. We go to verse 45. It says, and blessed, happy, to be envied is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of the things that were spoken to her from the Lord. She believed, but Zechariah didn't believe, and his mouth had to be shut. God knew that Mary accepted what the angel told her, and that was a miraculous conception that took place in her womb because of her words. It brought about the plan of God into the earth because God knew that she believed. The difference in Zechariah and Mary received the same message. They were both going to have a child. One accepted it, one did not accept it. One's mouth had to be shut and closed. The other one was said, according to your word, be it done unto me. Oh my, it's so powerful. We're talking about faith. We're talking about faith steps. And everything that looked impossible in the natural, but it says in verse 37, with God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible. Let's look at another example in the Bible. Let's go to the book of Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and we're going to begin in verse 17. Mary's words put her right into the plan of God. Your words can frame your world and bring you right into the plan of God. Sickness and disease do not have to be the last word spoken over you. God's word has the final answer. What do you choose to believe? Right here in Luke chapter 5, and we're beginning in verse 26. Luke chapter 5, verse 17, I'm sorry. Luke chapter 5, verse 17, we're going to start there. It says, and one of the, I'm reading from the Amplified first. One of those days, as he was teaching, talking about Jesus, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come from every village and town of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present with him to heal them. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Keep that in your mind. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Do you know it's just like today when the word of God is going forth, the power of the Lord is present here today to take care of any need, any situation, any sickness, any pain, any come on now. The power of the Lord is present. But with our faith, we plug into the power. Our faith gives action to the power. All right, keep this in mind. So it says, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Verse 18, and behold, some men were bringing on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed. And they tried to carry him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him with his stretcher through the tiles into the midst in front of Jesus. Can you picture this? That's pretty good. Four men, man on the stretcher, taking him up on the roof, digging a hole through the roof, and now lower him in it. It can't be a small hole like this. No, this was a man, full-grown man, so the hole had to be pretty big. So it had to take a little bit, I'm thinking in my mind. So it says, verse 19, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof, lowered him in his stretcher, threw the tiles into the midst in front of Jesus. And when he saw their faith. Woo, I love it. When he saw their confidence in him. What? He saw their actions. They were convinced that if they could get their friend to Jesus, that their friend would be healed. They were convinced and persuaded. Why? Because of what they had heard about Jesus, that he was going about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So this had built a faith and a confidence in these four crazy friends that got a hold of their... I'm telling you, we need good friends in our lives. ones that will get alongside of us and say, you know what, you're not alone in this. Bless God, you can do this. You've already been declared as the winner in Christ, the overcomer, the more than conqueror. This is nothing to God. He's already taken care of it. Hallelujah. So in verse 20, when he saw their confidence, their faith in him springing from their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason and question and argue, saying, who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Well, Jesus was God in the flesh. Hallelujah. Verse 22, but Jesus, knowing their thoughts and questionings, answered them, why do you question in your hearts? Verse 23, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to arise and walk about? But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power of authority and right on the earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, I say to you, arise, pick up your bed or your litter stretcher and go to your own house. Verse 25, and instantly the man stood up before them, picked up what he had been lying on, went away to his house, recognizing, praising, and thanking God. Verse 26, and an overwhelming astonishment and ecstasy seized them all. They recognized and praised and thanked God. Do you know miracles and healings gives praise and glory to God? It glorifies him. And it says they were filled with and controlled by reverential fear. And they kept saying, we have seen wonderful, strange, and incredible, unthinkable things today. Notice that Jesus with this man, he says, your sins are forgiven you and you're healed. He did not go and touch the man. He did not lay hands on the man. He only spoke a faith command. Do y'all get this? He did not even have to touch the man. He spoke a faith command. He just told him to rise up, take up his bed, and walk. The man believed the words that Jesus spoke. He didn't have to have him come lay hands on him. No. Now I want us to turn to Mark chapter 2. And we're going to read the same incident about this, but I want us to see something here. Mark chapter 2. And we're going to begin in verse 1. The same incident about the man on the stretcher with the four friends. Mark chapter 2, and beginning in verse 1, I'm still reading from the Amplified, and it says, and Jesus, having returned to Capernaum, after some days it was rumored about that he was in the house, probably Peter's house, and so many people gathered together that there was no longer room for them, not even around the door, and he was discussing the word. Yes, he was discussing the word. And they came bringing a paralytic to him who had been picked up and was being carried by four men. So this explains it a little bit more than what Luke did. It says four men brought this man on a stretcher. They picked him up and he was being carried by four men. Verse 4, and when they could not get him to a place in front of Jesus because of the throng, they dug through the roof above him. And when they had scooped out an opening, they let down the thickly padded quilt or mat upon which the paralyzed man laid. Verse 5, and when Jesus saw their faith, here we go again, same thing. Mark says it just like Luke says it. Jesus saw their faith in action. Their confidence in God through him. He said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven you and put away. That is, the penalty is remitted. The sense of guilt is removed and you are made upright and in right standing with God. Now, some of the scribes were sitting there and holding a dialogue with themselves as they questioned in their hearts, why does this man talk like this? He is blaspheming. For who can forgive sins, remove guilt, remit the penalty, and bestow righteousness instead, except God alone? And at once Jesus, becoming fully aware in his spirit that they thus debated within themselves, said to them, why do you argue, debate, and reason about all this in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven and put away, or to say, rise up, take up your sleeping pad or mat and start walking about and keep on walking. Woo, glory, I like that one. Keep on walking. But that you may know positively and beyond a doubt that the Son of Man has right and authority and power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, I say to you, arise, pick up, carry your sleeping pad and mat, and be going on home. And he arose at once, say at once. He arose at once and picked up the sleeping pad and mat and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and recognized and praised and thanked God, saying, we have never seen anything like this before. So here we go again, forgiveness of sins and the healing of his body. The same time that Jesus dealt with our sins, he broke the power of the sin from over our lives, is the same time that he also provided healing for your physical body. It is a package deal. It's done. It was done at the same time. Your sins were remitted. Physical healing was provided for your physical body. Healing was provided for your physical body. It is a package deal. But I want us to go back and look at verse 5. Because this man, Jesus knew by the Spirit of God that this man had been dealing with condemnation and guilt from his past. So Jesus, in order to help this man, because why? Because if you're in condemnation and you're feeling guilty, your faith will not work. So Jesus had to get this man to come to the place where he could release and know and understand that the guilt was removed, it was remitted, it was dealt with. You're not paying for your sins, Jesus told. You're not paying for your sins. I paid for the penalty of your sins and your guilt. Let it go. So he was helping this man to get to the place where he could receive just by receiving what word that Jesus spoke. He didn't need his hands laid on him. He knew that the man was dealing with guilt and condemnation. So it says, and when Jesus saw their faith and their confidence, we were looking at verse 5, and God through him, he said to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven you. Your sins are remitted. Your sins are forgiven. And forgiven you. And put away, that is, the penalty is remitted. You're not paying for your past sins anymore. Let it go. No more condemnation. And obviously the man received this word from Jesus. Because the moment when Jesus said, rise up, take up your bed and walk, immediately the man didn't hesitate. He rose up, took up his bed and walked. So it's a package deal. If we could just get the revelation concerning the same time our sin, the same time Jesus paid for the remittance of our, he broke the power of sin from over our lives, was the same time that he paid for the penalty of our sins. He paid for it. So there should therefore there be no condemnation in you, no guilt. Somebody, I could tell you, when I was woken up at 2 o'clock this morning, somebody has been dealing with this, and you're thinking in your mind, you're dealing with condemnation, guilt from your past, and it's keeping your faith from working. But God is telling you today that your sins have been forgiven, remitted, and he's paid the penalty for all of that in your life. You do not have to be under condemnation anymore. The sense of guilt has been removed off of you, from you today. No more of that. So all you need to do is believe God, release your faith, and receive your healing. Hallelujah. Package deal. The same time, your sins were remitted. is the same time you receive your healing. Jesus broke the power of your sin, and he paid for the penalty of sin. You are not paying for your sins. And your faith will not operate and produce the results for you if you are in condemnation or you're feeling guilty and bad concerning your past. It's gone. It's under the blood. It's been remitted. And he paid for all of it. So all you need to do is rise up, release your faith, and believe that you receive. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Jesus loves us so much. He took care of everything that we would ever have to deal with in this life and provided for our success right here, right now. Right here and right now. So first of all, if you've been dealing with the guilt of your past or condemnation, no more. No more. If that's you in here today and that's speaking to you, I want you to come right down here.